It's not just a home or a car. It's the 6 months you've saved for the Ultra HD flat screen and the overtime you worked for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or a combo, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Tony understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin for your home and auto insurance today. That's ChamplinInsurance.com.
Season 3, baby, let's go! The NWHL gets a new name, while we still keep an eye out for one name in particular to come to terms with the Minnesota Wild. As always, presented by SodaStick, brought to you by Jim Beam, Better Edge, and State Farm Insurance agent Tony Hoagland at ChamplinInsurance.com. This is Season 3, Episode 90.
New Bardown Beauties hats, plus all of your favorite Minnesota merch can be found at SodaStick.com. Snag 15% off all purchases with code BARDOWNBEAUTIES, BARDOWNBEAUTS, at checkout. That's SodaStick.com.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting Let's Play Hockey prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with the bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Remember, drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, copyright 2021, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
Hello, everybody. Season three.
Whoop. Season three.
Fred, a little enthusiasm, please.
I'm always just exuding
bring
enthusiasm
out the trumpet,
at all times.
Fred, oh, this would have been the perfect time for the trumpet.
Yeah,
I don't even know what that thing is.
God, a missed opportunity. You're fired. We're done. We're over it.
Here, yeah. I got a ukulele.
Oh, yay.
There, season three ukulele.
Thank you.
Welcome
Fred.
To season three. Hopefully you guys are as excited as we are. Not only is it a new season, it's literally a new season for the NHL. Mm-hmm. We're just less than two weeks away, I think, at this point. Woo! Let's go, Alexis. I'm Jesse Pierce. This is Alexis Pearson, Fred Weinfurt. We will be sure to say that all the time for our new listeners. So we appreciate
you
guys tuning in.
Air out the beef as well that Fred is back from his firing once again. Fred, do you have anything you'd like to address with our audience?
Yes, week after week, everybody knows y'all can't do it without me. Things go crazy, things hit the wall, people staying up till 1 a.m. to get things figured out.
And then doing it wrong anyway, and then having to fix it in the morning.
So I'm here.
Welcome back, Fred, to season three. Couldn't do it without the first episode of season three. So yeah. That was a good speech, Fred.
It was a good speech. Thank you. Kevin Gorg joins us for our debut of season three. So stay tuned for Gorgomatic in our second segment.
K-Train, Gorgie.
K-Train, KG, Papa Gorg.
He's got so many nicknames. Yeah.
So wonderful. He's just the best. But we also have some hockey news. Let's kick it off with the ladies. The NWHL is no more. Not that the league went away, guys. It just rebranded itself as the PHF. Alexis, what do you make of the Premier Hockey Federation rebranding from the NWHL?
I don't like it. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this. I like the idea behind it and what their purpose was in trying to move to something that they believed was more inclusive and creating the kind of community that they're aiming for, that the NWHL was aiming for. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to change the wording of the name of the league. And that was kind of their starting point for more inclusivity. They wanted to remove the name women out of the title of the league. And that was kind of, you know, starting from the top down, let's change the name and then let's change some of, you know, what we do internally to make this more inclusive. So I like that a whole idea behind it is for good reason and hopefully impactful. What I don't like is more so from a marketing and branding standpoint and looking at this as a women's league. Or formally, I suppose, what they defined as a women's league. The league is not that old. The league's only been around for a few years. and they, you know, six moving into year seven here. And it's a women's league. And so they already were kind of behind the eight ball as far as, you know, women's sports always has to work harder to get the attention and get the recognition and get the spotlight to, you know, showcase the talent that they have in their leagues and on their teams. And so it's already hard enough for women to get that platform. The NWHL, I felt like this last year really took a step in the right direction as far as sponsorship goes. They got on national television for the first time with some games being broadcasted on NBCSN. And they really got that stage that they had been working so hard to get for the past five seasons up until season six. They somehow managed to work around COVID delays and postponements and all of that, and still made it to national television at the end of the season. They got the Discover sponsorship at the, you know, midway part of the season. That was huge as well. And so you worked hard to do all of this, and then you rebrand with a name change moving into season seven with a league where there's already a lot of people who didn't know what the NWHL was. And that's just the truth of it. And that's not necessarily a testament to the league. That just is what it is. So it's frustrating. I know a lot of people who work in the women's hockey world and who are closely associated with the NWHL. Fred?
I just want, can you explain the inclusivity? Like, what is it about the name that makes it more inclusive?
I could take this even because I didn't
take
actually
it away,
even,
Jesse.
I didn't even realize that when they made the change, because it seemed so abrupt and kind of so out of nowhere. And then them further explaining that, it made a little bit more sense. So because you have maybe some transgender players or players that don't identify as female, by removing the national women's part of it, they felt that it was more inclusive in that perspective, which I mean, I do. I think that that's a nice sentiment. I think it makes sense. And I get that. I like that they're putting their money where their mouth is a little bit and saying, hey, we don't have to necessarily do that. However, I still like the National Women's Hockey League.
Yeah.
Like, I think even if you didn't, you know, no matter how you identify, I think it's the way that they approached it. No shade. This is not meant to shade the NWHL because it's clear that they put a lot of thought into this, like the whole stars carrying over from the NWHL, forming a crown, forming the W. It came out of nowhere, kind of blindsided a lot of people, like, wait, what? Like, okay.
Even us who work with the league, we're like, what are they doing here? And the other issue that a lot of people were having, Fred, to kind of continue on to answer your question here, is they removed the word women's from the name of the league, but in the description of what they're trying to do, they were using the word women. They're like showcasing women's talents and highlight bringing the highest talents of women to the biggest stage and doing stuff like that. So people were like, okay, well, you took it out of the league name, but you're still using that wording in your description of the league and your intentions with the league. So there, I think there was just, it didn't seem very cohesive. And like Jesse said, it seemed very, I don't want to say poorly planned, but it just seemed like it could have been done so much better than the way that they did it. I hope it works. Like, this isn't me hoping that the league fails with the name change. But it just was very interesting. And I saw very, very few people who completely and fully applauded what the league had done there, aside from the people who were involved in the rebranding process. So I think that says a lot about how people feel about what they did. We'll see kind of how this season goes and what opportunities present itself to the league in this upcoming season and seasons moving forward. But yeah, a little questionable, not fully on board with it yet, but hopefully something good comes.
And I mean,
it's
change. It's a changing of the guard of sorts in general for the NWHL, right? They've got new staff in there from the top on down. They're trying to add leagues. They're trying to do a whole bunch of different things. So maybe it's probably beneficial for them to do it now as opposed to later, right? When everything's kind of new. And like you said, Alexis, I think it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. And I mean, change is always weird, right? That it's different. We've known it as the NWHL. So just might take a little getting used to, but
I already had somebody ask me, they're like, so there's a new women's league. And I'm like, all right, see, this is my problem with this.
Right.
Nobody understands what's actually happening. So that was literally yesterday. Somebody asked me that at work and I was like, no. Okay. Yeah. This is my problem with the whole thing. So that explains perfectly how I feel about the situation, is like, as someone who works with the league, I've already got people confused about what's going on. So yeah,
maybe now as the PHF that Better Edge will get some women's games.
Yes,
do it. Their apps, you know, again, check out Better Edge. You can now listen to our podcast on their app. It's very, very great. You can bet on college football. You can bet on hockey. We'll have our own special hockey competitions coming up. Snag a free $10 with the code BEAUTS, BEAUTS. Don't forget to check out Better Edge, BETTOR edge.com. Segway. Like that. Beautiful. I know Fred was proud of that one. I think
I always appreciate good segues. Always. Yeah.
Thank you. Always. Thank you. Speaking of new, here's another segue for you. The University of St. Thomas enters Division One this year, and it was announced that they will play against St. Cloud, Alexis's alma mater there, FEX. That's pretty exciting. Alexis, what are your thoughts? I mean, that should generate, I mean, I think people are already thrilled that St. Thomas is added to the plethora of Division One schools here in Minnesota that still have not won a championship in some time.
But they had as good of a chance as any last year to do it and couldn't get it done. So whatever. Yes. It's as you mentioned, people are already excited about the St. Thomas team moving up into D1. So there's already buzz around it, especially for those of us who are, you know, fully tuned into hockey news 24/7. But I feel like just in general, people are excited, but I think this is a great idea. Put it at a, you know, local venue that people know, that people can go watch, and matching them up against a team like SDSU. Now I'm not saying this cause I graduated from SDSU, but I think but that's a great idea as well. You're putting them up against a team who, you know, has a big reputation in the hockey community as far as college hockey goes. And a great introduction into D1 hockey, I think, for St. Thomas. So I love that what they've done with this and just kind of taking the hype that's already been building and saying, all right, now we're going to put it on a big stage and we're going to match up against a team that a lot of people love to watch in the college hockey world. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be fun. It's always exciting when teams move up in divisions and get a chance to play at a bit of a bigger stage with a bigger audience. And I'm excited to see what St. Thomas does this year.
I mean, I think they're going to be great. They were already excelling in MIAC quite a bit. They've got Rico Blase as the head coach, a very esteemed coach. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm thrilled for them. Minus not ever really being a big Tommy fan. I was more of a St. John's fan. Sorry.
Yeah.
Guys. Go Johnnies. But no, I mean, it's exciting. Like you mentioned, the only thing that, and I saw some people bring it up, so this wasn't an original Jesse thought, but it brought up a good point, is that Minnesota doesn't have any good, like, middle ground facilities as far as ice rinks goes. The Coliseum at the state fairgrounds was great, right? Like, the X is just so ginormous, and
yeah,
it's hard to fill that out. And it, you know, it would be nice to have kind of that in between the college arena and the professional, to have games like this played where it doesn't feel so daunting, right? Like, I mean, and I'm all for bring back the Coliseum. I used to watch White Bear Hill Murray games there all the time, yeah. But I agree. It kind of, you make it look at for a state that's so hockey centric, to have a mid-range facility would be really nice.
Yeah. I haven't seen people talking about that, but the fact that you bring that up,
you need, you know, to follow it better, Alexis.
That's, yeah, I'm slacking. Yeah, that is a really good point though. Even think of, like, you know, going back to the NWHL, a rink like Trier Rink, which is a beautiful rink, but only seats 1300 people. You've only got seating on half of the rink. And then you've got, you know, the locker rooms and the press box and whatnot. Beautiful rink, and highly recommend everyone go check that out for a hockey game at one point or another, but that's not a big arena. And then you've got, you know, like you said, the X, which seats 18,000 people. It's like, where are the in-between ones that are, you know, smattered throughout the state? And yeah, for a state that boasts its love of hockey and ability to play hockey on a rink in any city you go to, you'd think they'd have more of it. But
I mean,
maybe
if they build it, we will buy a Dasher board. I'm just throwing out there.
Will we?
For developers.
Will
we?
Wow.
If you build
first
it,
I've heard.
I will buy a Dasher board.
He said, I thought you were going to go all Field of Dreams.
I know. I went back because, like, I realized that you guys need to vote on it.
They will come.
They will, though.
They will.
If you do, they will.
That's just simple as that. So, shout out to maybe HTG Architects, one of my clients. If you guys want to build a new facility, there you go. And before we conclude the first segment and get to Gorgomatic, and this will lead into Kevin's discussion with us about the Minnesota Wild, but informal practices, Alexis, they've begun. Training camp opens September 23rd. Are you ready?
I am so ready. seeing hockey players on ice on my timeline this week was like the best thing that I've seen in forever. It's always exciting, those first moments of players returning, or even just like the players leaving their homes and going back to wherever they're playing for the season. It's a little bittersweet, as far as, you know, they're leaving their family sometimes.
I was just going to say, whatnot, those wives are just like, screw you, yeah. Alexa, leaving home, great.
Sorry. talking from a sports media person. But yeah, it's so fun to see them hopping on planes, heading to the towns and cities that they're playing hockey and getting on the ice for the first time, getting geared up for the first time. And even though we're still a couple weeks away from actual training camp, it feels like hockey season is getting closer. And maybe that's because the weather's starting to change too. I don't know if you guys smell the fall in the air, but we're getting away from summertime.
How many PSLs have you had already?
Okay, listen, I do not like pumpkin spice lattes. I do not like the taste of pumpkin spice. I was talking to a friend about this the other day because he's like, oh, I tried it for the first time. I'm like, do you think that I like love these? I don't like these.
You seem like a PSL girl.
I know I would.
You seem like the girl that walk up to the counter and order PSL, not pumpkin spice latte.
No, okay. I see where you guys would think that. But just to stand my ground here, and for once and for all, I do not like pumpkin spice flavored stuff. I don't drink pumpkin spice lattes, but I would sell a kidney for pumpkin cream cold brew at Starbucks, though. That is where it's at. So Okay. Anyway, long story short, I'm excited about hockey season. No, they're very good.
And the Are You Ready? Obviously a natural nod to our hype video. If you guys have not checked that out, be sure to pop on over to YouTube, because I literally am bruised from it. So please just make
it worthwhile. I was going to say, you owe Jesse this to go watch.
Did you get a lot of bruises?
I showed it to my children. I texted Fred and Alexis this. I didn't think about this. I was like, oh, guys, watch this. And at first Hudson laughed. And the next thing I know, they are both sobbing like, oh my gosh, mommy's hurt. I'm like, oh. What are you? Why are we all crying? Like, and
at least you know your kids love you, Jesse.
I guess so. Like, I felt so bad. I'm like, we're fine. And yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. We had an epic time.
People who haven't seen the video are probably like, what did happen to Jesse in that video? That
go watch. Caused her to be go bruised, watch. Subscribe to our YouTube channel while you're at it.
And tell them.
Yes. And go check it out. No, kudos to Fred for the concept and the videoing that he did. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time. We like to be stupid. So
yeah. I showed it to somebody
for stupidity. Yeah. For stupidity. That's why you come to Bardown Beauties.
Yeah. I showed it to somebody before it was released, like when Fred put the final version and sent it to us. And I was like at work and I showed it to someone. I was like, this is our hype video for season 3. I was like, it's kind of dumb and kind of cheesy, but we think it's funny. He's like, no, that's exactly what it is. He's like, it's funny, but it's also cheesy. I'm like, that's what we're going for.
That's what we are. We like to have a good time. Again, New Voice Studios, in case you guys haven't heard, can create all of those needs for you. Like to have fun, professional, whatever you need. Check them out as well. Constant plugging. That's what I do. Jesse Plug Pierce. That's what my new name is going to be.
Not as good as K-Train.
Don't
but,
do that nickname. Don't do that nickname.
Yeah, that does sound a little sexual and a little weird.
Jesse Plug Pierce.
We're off the rails. We're going to take a break on that note.
Good note to take a break on, by the way.
Good note to take a break. We need to recompose ourselves. We'll be back with Kevin Gorg right after this break.
It might be the off season, but that doesn't mean you can't still shop Bardown Beauties apparel. Get yourself a tank to add to your summer wardrobe or a Bardown Beauty sticker to slap on your water bottle to stay hydrated in the summer heat. Whatever you want, we've got it all at our Bardown Beauties Teespring store.
We're back. Joining us now, Gorgomatic. I just love that. How did Gorgomatic come to be Mr. Kevin Gorg? I need to ask that before we even kick into content here. Gorgomatic, well, where did that happen?
This goes way back in the time machine to, I want to say the year like 2000, when I started doing TV out at Canterbury Park. Mr. Fun, Joe Anderson, who used to be on KFAN, great guy, local St. Paul guy, was the media relations guy in the press box. And I was a first year track handicapper. And if I went through a stretch where I started making some good selections with my my horses at Canterbury, he said, oh my God, you're Gorgomatic today. And it, you know, that 21 years ago, but it kind of stuck with me. And so yeah, we tried Gorgalicious, but that wasn't the right tone we wanted to set, especially on social media. So we went Gorgomatic, and off we roll.
I kind of like Gorgalicious though. Can I?
Yeah, that's a nice touch.
Now that you say that, like that might be my thing.
No, I don't want any second thoughts. I want to stick with Gorgomatic. I'm one of those guys that always second guesses those decisions, and I got hacked about 6 months ago on Twitter, and we were rebranding. We were going from Fox Sports North to Bally Sports North, and rather than at Gorg BSN, it just didn't have my type of ring. So I went at Gorgomatic 21, and the rest is history.
I love it. I love it. You mentioned horses and handicap racing. Since we're just coming out of kind of racing season a little bit, there's a couple more weeks. Tell us a little bit how great it was to be back at Canterbury and have things back to normal per se.
Yeah, it still isn't normal yet, Jess. I mean, it's better, right? Mm-hmm. We, you know, going back 2 years ago when Alexis and I spent a lot more time together out there, we were racing at 6:30 on weeknights and 1 o'clock on Saturdays and Sundays. And we had these giant crowds. Canterbury learned something during COVID, and last year was a bummer. We had no fans. It was a 5 o'clock weeknight vibe where we're kind of on TV and on the internet. Nobody really had to, you know, punch in to have fun at Canterbury like we were used to having with concerts and all the family activities. This year we had a mixed bag. We had the weeknights Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 5 o'clock, which brought smaller crowds but bigger betting pools because we had a national TV audience on channels like Fox Sports 2 and TVG. And then the Sundays were at 1 o'clock, and those were the Pepsi family days where we had the dog races, you know, with the corgis and the basset hounds and all that cool stuff. So those crowds were obnoxiously big, 10 to 12 to 13,000 fans on those Sundays, because that's the one day everybody could bring their kids. 5 o'clock on a weekday is tricky for everybody, especially now that everybody's getting back to work. So it's a mixed bag. I still think they're trying to sift out how they're going to kind of rebrand this thing long-term. But for this year, it was good. We did have fans. I got to be out there mingling with the folks, the regulars we've known for years. And if I could have a nickel for every time I got asked where Alexis Pearson was, I would not need to work at Bally Sports anymore. My God, does she have a fan base at Canterbury? Holy cow.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that, Kevin, because for those who don't know, you know, our relationship dates back several years now. I can't believe that, you know, every time I think back to how long I've known Kevin Gorg and people ask me, I'm like, God, it's already been that many years. Like, it feels like just yesterday. But you presented me with an opportunity to come out and work for you at Canterbury Park, which I did up until the pandemic hit last summer. And to this day, it's still one of my favorite jobs I've done. Anyone who knows me knows I have, you know, a million different jobs and they're all weird and whatnot. And Canterbury Park was one of the most fun things I've gotten a chance to do. And you've been doing it for much longer than even when you had me working for you. How did you get into that? And you know, your power play, you know, betting advice and all of that, that people now know you for out at Canterbury Park.
Well, I know how long it's been. It's been about a decade since I met you. I remember the hospital visit that Tom Reed and I were on at Children's Hospital in St. Paul. And at the time you were just starting your journey into broadcasting and your studies around that. And you're at St. Cloud State, and you know they have such a great broadcasting program there. And the rest is kind of history. How, you know, we've kind of watched you kind of blossom here. But you know, for me, I started out there doing TV at Canterbury in the year 2000. In 2010, when I was much more full time at Fox Sports North at the time, I wrote for the Star Tribune, did the picks in the paper, and then Joe Mauer's grandpa Jake had done the tip sheet out at Canterbury for 2.5 decades, and his eyesight about 6 years ago was going bad. Could no longer kind of read the racing form to make the picks, and asked if I would take over. And between him and Randy Sampson, I was honored to do that. The one thing Grandpa Jake told me when I took over Big Jake's green sheet was you got to keep that color. You got to keep it the color of money.
Color of money.
Yeah, you know the drill. We talked about that selling the seats, and we've done that. And it's a labor of love. My heart belongs to Canterbury, there's no doubt. And now that I've kind of gone more full-time at Canterbury, filling in for PA as he starts to take some time off calling the races, doing some TV work for those guys, helping out in that regard. I've got the horses all summer. I've got the hockey all winter, and that's kind of where I belong, I believe.
You want to talk about people asking where I am. Whenever I was working there, people were asking where Jake was. They're like, where's Jake? I'm like, geez, I you don't want to know where Kevin is? Kevin's in charge now.
No. They love Grandpa Jake. And, yeah. You know, he was the guy that when ladies would walk into that racetrack, he would leave the booth to give them a hug every single time. He's no longer with us. He passed away a couple years ago, but really cool moment. Joe Mauer's brother, named Jake as well, named for his grandpa, stopped out opening weekend at Canterbury this summer. So we just were getting fans back into the racetrack, and Joe's brother stopped by my booth, and we had a nice conversation about his grandpa. And the tradition of getting the tip sheet at the racetrack. You got a tip sheet from me. I was so excited to meet him in the first place and then just talk about Joe and the Mauer family. But, you know, that's a lot of history there. And I don't take it lightly. I love doing the tip sheet for the fans. I love interacting. Now they've segued from asking where Alexis is as to when we're going to sign Kirill Kaprizov. I must have had 30 people last night freaking out at my tip sheet booth between, you know, 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock, trying to figure out what's going on there. But, you know, that's kind of the nature of the beast, right? All of us, we're known for our hockey takes. We're known for being around the Minnesota Wild. And so even though it's a horse track and it's a horse tip sheet, they still want some inside scoop on the Russian kid. And I wish I had it.
I know. I was going to say that was a natural segue, Kevin Gorg. Beautiful. I love to see it. Let's talk about the Minnesota Wild coming into the season. What do you make of some of the offseason transactions? Obviously, let's start with the buyout of Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. You obviously know those guys very well, as do I, as does Alexis and Fred. Were you surprised at all? Again, Zach, probably right out on the wall. Ryan Suter, a little bit different.
Yeah, I was floored by the Suter move. I'm not going to lie to anybody and say, oh, I saw this coming. I didn't. Not a lot of us did, from talking to Ryan Carter and Wes Walls and LaPant and everybody. And you know what? The Parise one, I think from the midpoint of the season on, you kind of maybe saw that one coming. The writing was on the wall. There was a little bit of some friction there between the player, the coach, and the GM. But, you know, the bottom line is I understand the business side of the decision. I get where Bill Guerin's trying to go. And we have to all understand that Bill Guerin has won cups as a player and as an assistant general manager. So he knows what a cup winner looks like, feels like, smells like. I trust his experience, right? So the business side of it, I get it. On a personal side, for me and specifically in my role with the Wild Hockey on television, I'm really going to miss those two guys. They're two of the best I've ever interviewed. You know, you think about the typical athlete that does interviews in any sport and the cliches that get thrown out, how they're just trying to hustle off to wherever they're headed to. You know, Zach and Ryan were completely different. They actually thought about their answers. They spoke from the heart. They had an opinion. They were unbelievably fun to interview, both in game, after the game, and even before the game. They were so candid. And then, you know, the relationship you have with these guys. You know, I've been with Wild Hockey since 2006, covering these guys on TV. So they got here in 2012. So nearly a decade of being with those guys, traveling with them, being on the airplane, being at the hotel, the fun conversations that we don't talk about, the texting every Sunday morning with Zach Parise to set that fantasy football.
Yeah, line. I was going to say, who are you going to do fantasy football with now, KG?
I was Zach promised, even from New York, we're going to stay in touch. But I mean, that's the hard part of the gig, right? Because you're a professional and you move on and now it's a new set of players. But I'm really going to miss those two guys. I consider them friends. I was lucky to work with them. And, you know, we're clearly going to miss them on the ice. I think that there's a plan in place to replace them, Galagoski, all that good stuff. But no, it made me sad at the time. I've gotten over it. You move on. We're all pros here. But, I'm going to miss the vibe that we had doing interviews and being around those two guys for sure.
Kevin was writing in his diary, like, I'm just going to miss Zach.
A little green hearts. Yeah, no, not that far.
Well, you know, Kevin, Jesse and I, you know, the last couple of weeks here on the podcast and whatnot, we've been playing with the idea of, are the Wild going to be taking a step back this season? And the holes that they have to fill are largely in part because of the loss of Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. And they've made a lot of transactions in this offseason to try to fill some of those holes that were put in place at the beginning of the offseason. Jesse and I have our opinions on this. We vary a little bit apart from each other when it comes
to this.
A lot of it.
A lot of it. And she's not. No.
That makes for the best podcast duo. We have good content then. But Kevin, where do you fall in the debate of, are the Wild going to be better or worse than last year, knowing that they really overachieved last season, right?
They did. I mean, a lot of things fell into place. Number one, they stayed healthy. Their main guys, specifically their star players, remained healthy. They got, I thought, some unbelievably good goaltending from both guys at two different stretches in the season. I think both guys played above what you'd expect on an everyday basis. Talbot was so, so good down the stretch, but let's not, you know, forget that Kakanen was really, really good for a long stretch too earlier in the season when Talbot wasn't healthy. So they probably did overachieve. I thought they played great in that playoff series against Vegas, taking that game to, you know, to series to seven and playing as well as they did for most of game seven. So there's a lot to feel good about as a Wild fan, but you know, you have to look at this objectively. And when you take out Suter and Parise, when you look at this now with a completely revamped roster and you take out what I think might be a bigger loss, and it's subtle, but it's that third set of D that was so stabilizing. You know, Ian Cole and Carson Soucy were combined plus 45. Not only were they good individually, they were good together. Mm-hmm. And vocal guys, big, strong guy in Soucy. These are hard players to replace. So they've made some key moves in the offseason. I mentioned Goligoski, Kulikov, Jordy Benn. To me, though, if you want the Wild to be a playoff team this year, the three most important players that I'm looking at going to training camp, assuming that everybody's back that we think should be back, would be Boldy, Addison, and then Marco Rossi, the greatest wild card of all in that deck that's stacked. And so if those three guys can step in and contribute on a regular basis, this is a playoff team. I think there's probably going to be a year buffer where there might be a slight regression. I do believe, though, that now in the next 2, 3, and 4 years, not only with those players, but looking at who the Wild drafted this year, all those draft picks they had, feeling good about the way Bill Guerin and his staff handled that draft this year, this is a team that in 2, 3, and 4 years, paging forward to when the Suter and Parisi contracts come off the books, this team is set up to be good for a long time. This year, to me, I think the safer bet, guys, is there's a slight regression. But again, if those three guys step in and are as good as we think they want to be, then maybe this team can kind of maintain that playoff position.
Now, Kevin, yes, knowing right. me, I was just going to ask, who do you think thought the Wild were going to be good this year? Me or Jesse?
You.
Yeah. KG knows me too well. I would never bet against the Wild. Never.
I was called the negative Nancy. I was called negative Nancy. And I'm like, I wasn't trying to be negative. I was just being realistic.
You're not Mike Russo, for God's sake. Yeah, Jesse, you're not that far, right? I mean, the sky isn't falling. No. You know, Mike, you're somewhere between the lady you host with your A and Russo. You're somewhere in between there. But exactly. You're shading more towards Russo right now. We can change your mind if they get off to like a 6-0-1 start, right?
I'm getting jaded. I've been in this career for too long that they've let me down too many times. It's hard to stay positive. You know, you mentioned Cal and Addison, and in my opinion, looking at the defensemen that they have signed, do you think that they're going to give Addison a fair shot? I mean, I know it's tough to say, training camp doesn't open for a couple weeks yet, but I look at it as like, I wonder if they are going to look at him or if they're going to give him more time to develop, because they've stocked full of a bunch of defensemen that could easily slot in to that top six. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think a month ago I would have said he was a lock to be with the big club right off the hop out of training camp. But once they signed Jordy Benn, now I'm with you. I'm a little more to the camp of, well, maybe they're going to give him a little more time to season with the Iowa Wild, get a little more confidence under his belt. But he looked good in the playoffs. He looked like he fit. And he has a skill set that most of those guys they brought in don't have. I mean, take Goligoski aside. He's going to kind of fill that role of Ryan Suter in that spot. Same type of minutes, same type of player, I believe, at this stage of both their careers. Now you've got 4 or 5 guys dueling for those last two spots, the spot 5 and 6 in the lineup, probably a 7th that travels. He's in that conversation. It'll depend on his camp. It's up to Kalen Addison to get that job done. But he has the offensive skill set and the savvy that a lot of those players, which are really more stay-at-home type of players, big, rugged, strong players. So I do think that there is a path for him. And I do think if the Wild are going to be in playoff consideration, I think he has to be that guy, because, you know, this is a team that's built from speed and offense. Now it's a different looking Wild team than we had 3-4 years ago. This is a team that wants to move the puck, that wants to play transition, that has skill up and down its lineup. So Addison, I believe, is the guy they want to make it. They've just got some more insurance now if he isn't quite ready.
Right. And, you know, sticking with the blue line, rather, I know I talked to Jared Spurgeon and he feels like that this defensive core now is a lot more offensive than they've been in the past. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, Goligoski, people don't talk about the offensive skill that this guy has, but I mean, he's a stud back there. He just doesn't put up big numbers, but he moves the puck. He gets involved in the rush. He's a skilled player. We know obviously what Brodin can bring and Dumba and Spurgeon can bring. I mean, we've got skill at that position. And I think that's the way this team wants to play. If you watch what Dean Evason and this coaching staff have put out there, and we watch them every single game, guys, I mean, this is a team that wants to get up and move. They're not going to play zone to zone. They don't want to play chip and chase. They want to play with scale and speed. And it's kind of refreshing, to be honest, as a lifelong Wild fan, to look at a team like this and say, if they have all their offensive pieces in place, they can play that way and they can be successful. They can win games now 5-4. They can play 7 games with the Vegas Golden Knights and not have to win games 2-1 every night. Mm-hmm. That to me is pretty exciting.
Now, you know, we've gone at length here with the blue line. I want to shift to the offense very briefly and one specific piece of the offense. What do you make of all the Kirill Kaprizov offseason drama? Is he going to the KHL? Is he not? Why hasn't Bill Guerin got this done yet? What's going on? What's taking so long? What are your thoughts on it, KG?
Well, I think it's been frustrating for Bill Guerin. I listened to him with Russo at the State Fair last week, and he said it all the right ways and did it, you know, very politically correct. But if we all know Bill and what a competitor he is and how he wants to get things in position, he wants to win so badly. I'm sure it's wearing on him. You know, we've talked about Kaprizov's agent being a handful. There's no doubt that he is. And people ask me, what are you looking for with this? Well, the Russian thing, that ship has sailed. So yeah. That option has come and gone, but now it really, I'm worried about the term of this contract because yeah. I think Kaprizov's camp, specifically his agent, is looking for something in the neighborhood of 3 years. That's not going to work. I mean, if you're a Wild fan and it comes out and it's 3 years, you've got to do the math. They're still going to be paying Zach and Ryan, and that's going to be an issue because at that point, other teams can outbid you. You've got to get this thing to at least 4 or 5 years, and 5 would be ideal. I think I've heard 5 years, somewhere between 45 and 50 million tossed around. That not only makes sense, but it also makes me feel good that the Wild will have the opportunity. If this kid continues to grow and put up the numbers we saw this past season, then they have every right to retain his services and keep him here for the length of his career. And that's really all I want. I want mm-hmm. this kid on this team for the length of his career. I don't want him to go somewhere in 3 years.
I was going to say, you're saying you don't want to play against him in 3 years and have him score the game winning goal in a playoff game against the Wild.
He's going to Chicago.
But don't you feel like, again, as a Minnesota sports fan, and I go all the way back to the Herschel Walker debacle that led to the Cowboys dynasty in the 90s. And then, you know, we look recently at Big Poppy and now the Red Sox, you know, they break their curse and they do their thing. And all the players that have left the Twins and the Wild, and they go on to do these great things. It'd be nice just to keep our guy here. And I think we're very fragile as a fan base because
we
finally get this beautiful, shiny new toy. We've waited and heard about this toy for years.
I was going to say, after waiting forever.
Yeah. Oh my God. Where's our toy? We want our toy back.
Yeah. It's been tough.
It is. I mean, and I've told Alexis, and we've mentioned on the podcast, I've had nightmares of like waking up and it's like he signed for a year or he signed for 2 years. Oh. And it's you're right. You don't want to walk him into free agency. And because I don't think that there's going to be a sophomore year slump, right? That's the other question. Like, is he going to be worth this money? I think you have seen that he's a tremendous player in the playoffs, a little bit quieter, but that's also probably because Vegas was looking to shut him down, yeah. right? They knew that that was the guy that you had to stop. Do you see him being a part of Minnesota Wild training camp when they open? Do you think that they will come to terms by then, by September 23rd?
Well, it's got to be before that though, right? We got to get him over here. We got to get him cleared. So yeah, that the timing's a little iffy right now. A week ago, I had no worries at all. And now I'm starting to get to that point where I'm looking at the calendar. I'm like, well, we're within 2 weeks of training camp. So it's got to be in the next week. So if we're talking a week from right now and there's still no contract, then I start to maybe not press the panic button, but at least locate the panic button, be ready to push it. Now we're running out of time. And so I think they want to get something done here in the next week. I think that would be the most natural. I love that Bill Guerin shared some personal stories about when he missed time and held out and didn't go to training camp and missed some, you know, early season games, how his season never came together for him. I think that's the other factor here too, is a Wild fan, we need 97 out there to be at his mm-hmm. very best. And if he misses training camp and doesn't start the regular season with some games under his belt in the preseason, that could put him behind the eight ball. And I mean, this team's only going to go as far as he'll take him. He's become that guy already. I'm willing to say it. I believe in this kid. I think Kevin Fiala is a great 1-2 punch, but that is the guy that's got to make things happen. And so, you know, there's a couple different ways to look at this. Number one, you got to get it done just for our sanity. Number two, you got to get done to give this kid the best chance to have a really good season and avoid that sophomore slump.
Especially with the players coming in, right? Marco Rossi, we have heard time and time again that he is going to be this game changer up the middle. And I mean, you want to see how he plays with Marco Rossi or a Matt Boldy or whatever line changes. I mean, or do you see that Victor Rask and Matt Zuccarello are going to be, is that line going to stay intact? Or do you think Dean's going to play around a little bit with it?
Well, I think he can play around a little bit with it with the center position. I'd be really surprised if Matt Zuccarello wasn't out there with Kaprizov. They feed off each other so well. And, you know, Zuccarello's widely known as the best passer of the puck on this team. So you want to put the puck in your star's possession as much as possible. And Matt's, I think, is the player that complements him the best. You know, Victor Rask, you know, he was serviceable there. And I never saw that coming. And I give Dean Evason a ton of credit because when he first did that, I was taken back by that. It worked, and it worked just fine. I don't know what to expect from Marco Rossi right away in training camp. I think the preseason really will matter for him to just measure out at the NHL level. He played in the World Juniors on a team that was so overmatched, and he looked fantastic doing so. He didn't have a lot of help out there with him, but he, you know, from all the conversations from the pundits that are out there that have watched the World Juniors for years, this kid is going to be a regular at the National Hockey League level. But I think we're asking an awful lot off what he's been through off the ice to think he's just going to hop into training camp, take a top six role and run with it. I just don't see it happening that way. I think it's going to take some time.
Well, and Kevin, both you and Jesse used the phrase sophomore slump in reference to the possibility of how Kirill Kaprizov's second season in the NHL could go. And I think when we think about this kind of thing at this point in time, you know, we look at last year, which was an incomplete season. It wasn't a normal NHL schedule. You're playing these series rather than a normal layout for opponents, and you're playing a shortened season and whatnot. And for many parts of the season, you either had, you know, minimal fans or not a full stadium or whatever it may be. When you look ahead to this upcoming season, which is going to be normal as far as scheduling goes, and, you know, most buildings are going to have more fans in them and all of that, do you think this is going to be hard for those players who were rookies last year to adjust to? Is it going to be any kind of transitional phase for them to be like, oh, okay, so this is what a real NHL season looks like? Or do you think they're going to be able to jump right into it?
I think for most players, it's going to be easier and more enjoyable. I think you talked to those guys last year, and we all did throughout the season, how much they missed the fans. And even when the Wild first got 2,500 or 3,000 fans in there, the impact it had on these guys and their attitude towards being in the rink. But it's funny, when I think of Kirill Kaprizov and I think of, you know, that first year and how we really didn't get a chance to get to know him much off the ice, and there was a translator involved, but slowly but surely that's going to go away here from what I understand. And he's starting to really get more comfortable with the English language and all that. And if you think about where this could go, if we are indeed past that COVID struggle and reporters and all of us are going to be around the locker room after practice, before games, after games, that might be a bigger adjustment for him than most, because he has not been in that situation at all. Think about it. Last year, we must have got him a handful of times with a translator.
I get like three, maybe. Right.
And so, I mean, think of the attention, not only locally, but nationally, this kid's going to get. So I think that has to be at least thought about in terms of the stress that it could provide, because he's learning all this for the first time. Now, I get it, in Russia, he's a superstar, kind of like Granlin was over in Finland, but it's different when you're not in your comfort zone with, you know, speaking your native tongue, doing your thing. So that to me is something to watch for sure. If indeed we are able to be around that room and reporters are going to be a part of the mix, because he had none of that last year.
I know. Are you saying we're going to just crowd his stall constantly, right?
I think if we look at our viewers or our readers out there, I mean, to me, I'm really proud of the way our broadcast came together last year, not being able to travel, and the technical side of things that I have nothing to do with, the crew, what they were able to completely overdo and reimagine was unbelievable. But if you look back at some of the interviews I wish we could have had for our fans after some of those unbelievable performances, starting game one in Los Angeles, if we can get some of that this year with Kaprizov, just how much more it'll enhance the enjoyment of our broadcast for everybody. That's what we're hoping for. So yeah, I mean, it's all up for debate how it's going to play out. We really don't know yet, but I think that's where it's trending.
Well, and Jonas Brodin F-bombs, right?
Yes.
Well, there is that. And I got to be honest, of all the guys, including Marcus Foligno, your guy, Alex, of all the guys, he would have been the last guy I would have ever thought came up with that. And the giggle that he had after and the look on my face when I watched it back, that was priceless.
Yeah, that was, I mean, of all the crazy things that I'm sure have happened to you working in sports, working in media, that's got to be towards the top of the list, right, KG?
It might be number one. I mean, this guy is the most soft-spoken, well-thought. I mean, I was just flabbergasted. I had no response. And then, of course, about a week later, and Aaron Sickman set it up, we were interviewing him for a pregame interview. And he gets the headphones on, and we're getting set to kind of cue up the camera guy. And he looked at me via the link, and he said, "I won't effing do that this time." And I'm like, "Oh my God, Sicky, he set it up again." But it was cute. I mean, he's such a good dude. It just slipped.
I know. I love it. I remember watching. I'm like, did Jonas Brodin just said that? Like, no way.
Yeah, I loved everyone's disbelief on Twitter at first. Like, did we actually hear that right? Or did he, he actually say?
Oh, yeah. You did.
Good. Classic. Good. How much do you love Matt Dumba's K-Train sign out?
Well, the K-Train's good stuff. Him and Marcus, it's fun. And now, I'll bump into people. Like the other day, I was just over at Target here in Minnetonka doing a little shopping, and I'm checking out, and then one of the guys comes over and says, "Hey, aren't you the K-Train?" I'm like, "Oh God." So let me just be clear. And I just want to make sure everybody understands I am not the K-Train or the original K-Train. There was a player that played for the Wild, and most fans won't even remember him, but he had a cup of coffee with the Wild back when Darby Hendrickson played. His name was Christopher Kalanos, double K. And he got called up, and they're playing some obscure game. I think it was down in Atlanta. We're going back a ways.
Oh, God.
And he scores on his first shift. He's like a fourth line guy. He scores a goal on his first shift, and he kind of glides over to the bench after, looks at Darby, and I think Bruno and some of the guys says, "Don't worry, just ride the K-Train tonight, guys." And I was obsessed with that story to the point where I kept having Darby tell all my colleagues and coworkers. And I think Darby got so sick of me asking about the K-Train story that he started calling me the K-Train, and the rest just has gone the other direction on me, and I can't get away from it.
I mean, leave it up to guys like Matt Dumba and Marcus Foligno to never let the joke die, right?
No.
Well, Matt Dumba, what? Again, you talk about personality. I mean, that guy, you got to be careful around him. He'll get you. He'll zing you. And he likes that K-Train thing. He knows it bugs me. And so does Foligno. And they get a little chuckle every time they do it. And then it's funny because, between Aaron Sickman and Whitey, Aaron Height, the travel guy, they all once in a while will have some of the more obscure players try to mix it in.
Yeah.
And it's got a life of its own.
I think one of my favorite parts is, in watching your reaction when they say it, like as you're signing off to send it back to studio or whatever, I always try to catch like a little glimpse of like annoyance or like you trying not to laugh when they say it, because I mean, anyone, who knows the story and knows the background to it, know that it's kind of like a joke that you don't like getting it called it.
Can tell from the players too. Like they look at it, they know they got you, right? Like Marcus and Matt love it.
Because I'm trying to stay in the moment, stay serious. And in my mind, okay, I've got the score in my head and I'm teasing something. We're going to be showing something next. And then they throw that K-Train out and, I'm not smart enough to overcome that. I discombobulate on the spot. It's terrible.
You mentioned we're not quite sure exactly what media availability will look like this year. We have a decent idea, but just how excited are you in general that hockey is going to return again? Not completely normal probably, and it's going to be very fluid, right? Like things will change on a whim, but as of right now, it seems like we're going to get the full 82 games. We're going to move forward and have a more regular NHL season.
Yeah, I missed so much of it last year, Jess. I missed being at the rink every day for practice and talking to the coaches and seeing the players. And, we made the best of it. It was so awkward, though, walking into practice and then being escorted up to the press box, not into the bleachers, down by the bench. And we made the best of it. It was cool. It was still hockey. And it was a wildly entertaining season. But, I hope at some point we get to travel. I hope we're doing the broadcast from the rink. I hope that we get to have that day-by-day interaction, because for all of us, but specifically for LaPanta, the color guy, whoever that is, whether it's Walls or Carter or whomever, we can bring those conversations from the hotel, from the bus, from the training facility, from practice into the broadcast and kind of peek behind the curtain a little bit, get to know these guys on a personal level. And I think like a year like this year, where darn near half that roster is going to be full of players that the fans don't know and don't have all those stories, I think that's going to be really important to have and really valuable for our broadcast. So I think I don't want to jinx anything. It looks good right now.
Yeah.
I think we'll be at training camp. I think we'll be able to be around the guys and maybe travel at some point. Those were the things I missed the most about last year.
Oh, absolutely. I remember seeing Jared Spurgeon at the State Fair and he's like, "You had a baby?" I'm like, "I know, you didn't know I was pregnant all year because we didn't see each other. We were just on Zoom." So it was, and there were so many new faces even this year, right? That Those guys have no idea who we are at this point, and people forget that that's so important mm-hmm. to our job. I know I missed having you, Kevin, up in the press box. You were across the ice from us the whole time. Did you figure out Zoom, though? I remember helping you figure out Zoom. Are you a Zoom pro?
It took me a little longer than it should have. But we've done it so much now, it's become easy. But you were the first one to help me on my phone when I was freaking out trying to hear the coach. And I'm like, what do I do, Jesse? I have no idea what I'm doing.
I was like, we got you.
The start of the whole process. No, honestly, it was for a lot of us, it was overwhelming at first. And I remember trying to coordinate how we're going to do, some of our post-practice interviews. So if the Wild, let's say we're in California playing one of the California teams and they would finish practice. I mean, Aaron Sickman would call my cell phone and he would hold the cell phone up and then there'd be a camera guy at practice and they'd be shooting like I was standing with the guys after practice. That sound you see in the game when the guys are talking about a specific matchup mm-hmm. or one of the superstars they're going to be going against, that was honestly done with Sickman holding up his cell phone, me sitting here with my Bluetooth in on that phone with Sickman, barking out the questions to the player while we shot it with the camera. It would be really nice if we could all be back together and we could just walk out in the hallway and shoot that interview this mm-hmm. year to get that sound. We'll get it done one way or the other.
Yeah.
We found a way to overcome it, but those are the types of things that Aaron Sickman and our entire staff behind the scenes went through to make this thing work last year. And there were a lot of extra hours and a lot of, big time work done by folks that this year, if we can get back to a little more of a normal broadcast, I think it'd be better for everybody involved.
Shout out Sicky.
Yeah.
No doubt. He was busy, man. I mean, you could tell by the end of the year, it was exciting to be in the playoffs, but I mean, he got his butt kicked, man. Him and Megan worked so hard and they were, especially with the way the team was playing and some of the star players they had, and not just locally, but nationally, there was a ton of requests for time and it never ended. I mean, it was between the cell phone thing and the post-practice stuff and Evison. I mean, it was a couple hours after practice before he would get done working, and now the folks that make that happen on the technical side, once we get that stuff to get it to the broadcast, it just was a completely different way of doing it. We all adapted in our everyday lives. And I think with TV, everybody adapted the same way, but I think we're certainly looking forward at some point this year to being out there with the guys and doing it like we used to do.
Well, and the four of us are, media people. We studied this, we work in it, and we know how much work it takes to put together a normal broadcast for a sporting event, right? A live sporting event. And to understand then the hurdles that everybody had to jump through. People sitting at home are watching a finished product, right? They don't know what went on behind the scenes to get you these interviews necessarily. And the work, the extra work, the reporters and PR people and, producers and everybody had to put in. And I think if there's anything I learned from this experience is a great amount of gratitude that I gained for what we do for work on an everyday basis. Because it is hard to begin with. And then you have a season like last year, you're like, holy cow, this really makes a lot of, what we do seem so much more special. And the fact that everybody for the most part was able to pull it off and bring these Wild games to people with, minor issues, and people were able to enjoy the games at home. And like you said, Kevin, what a great season it was too. It's so unfortunate that that's the kind of season the Wild had in a year where we had minimal access to players and staff and whatever. And to be able to get rid of some of those hurdles this season and be able to just have fun with it like we always have been is going to be exciting.
Yeah, I think, we joke a little bit about it, but like Jesse said, everybody's learning new skills. They're learning to adapt. I mean, they're forcing some of us older guys, and I'm in my mid-50s now, to try different things. And I think for everybody, and whether it's the PR side with Megan and Sicky and with all of us at Bally Sports or with the Wild Radio Network with KFAN or all of us doing these podcasts and these Zoom calls, I mean, we're all learning new skills. And the one silver lining to this whole thing when we get in the back end of this pandemic is we're all going to be more diversified in how we're able to do our work. There's going to be a way now to do these broadcasts remotely. Some of these companies are going to actually use that template to maybe have their crew, like, our producer, our director, our replay guys, all of them can be still stationed here locally in the Twin Cities. And yes, the play-by-play, the color guy and the reporter can go on the road, but we can do these remotely and save the companies thousands of dollars. There's ways to do this now that we didn't even know we could do. We thought we were years away from that. So the pandemic has certainly brought us some silver linings. And I think down the road, the broadcast will be more affordable, will be better because of some of the technical skills everybody was kind of forced into because of COVID.
I know. I will say, like having the baby, rather than bringing the baby in the locker room, it's very nice to do it on Zoom and just have her chill here. As great as it is, I want her to have a relationship with not Granlund, but Kaprizov. maybe Kaprizov's her Granlund. We'll find out.
Does she have a godfather yet? It could be Kirill.
We'll see.
You better sign then. That's again one of those perks, you know, get it done, Kirill.
Forget about a $20 signing bonus. Kirill Kaprizov, do you want to be Avery's godfather? We need
somebody. Do it for Avery, Kirill. That's what we're saying. That's what needs to happen. It was so funny. I ran into Zach, obviously, at the Beauty League, and first thing he asked, how's Hudson? How's he doing? I'm like, oh, that's just so adorable.
Isn't that cool? I mean, that. The people, I think that's the neat part of the gig. Is it gets personalized when you're around these guys every single day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can only speak for the team that we cover, but you won't find a better group of guys to be around. I mean, they ask you questions. They actually want to hear the answer. They know about your kids. They know about the things you're involved in. They know about, you know, for some of the guys that grew up here locally, Alex Daylock and I used to always talk about high school hockey in Minnesota. And, you know, just that journey, right, that we share, that we both grew up in the area. We both played high school hockey and all that fun stuff that, you know, we are privileged to be around every day. I mean, I think I don't take it for granted. And I think last year just only intensified the best part of the job for me is the travel and being around the team. I mean, I'm a hockey fan. I got into this because I love the game and I was a Wild season ticket holder before I got hired at Fox Sports North. So my passion for this team runs deep. And I think, you know, learning to just appreciate the fact that I'm getting paid to be in an arena up against the glass with a microphone, able to have my opinion expressed in the broadcast on what I'm seeing and being around my favorite team. I don't take it for granted. And I think last year just again, reminded me and a lot of people just how special the gig is.
Absolutely. And before we let you go, prediction, will the Minnesota Wild make the playoffs? Will they make a run in the playoffs? Kevin Gorg.
I'm going to say they make the playoffs. I'm going to say they're going to have to work to do it. I don't think it's going to be like it was last year where they were in and you knew they were in pretty much the second half of the year. I don't think it's going to be like that this year. I think there are some new faces and some new chemistry to build. I think it's going to be a process for this coaching staff. I believe in Bill Guerin. I believe in Dean Evason first and foremost. I really do like the direction that this organization is going in. But like I said at the top of our show today, I think there might be some slight regression before we get to the really good stuff. So I'm not certain this team's ready to make a cup run yet. I won't close the door on it, but I'm just going to say right now, they are going to get their way into the playoffs. And if that's the case, I think as a Wild fan right now, knowing the youth that they've kind of turned this thing over, right? They are a team now that's going to be one of the younger rosters in this league. And they've got not just young players, but young players with a future. I think that in the next 3 or 4 years, that run's going to come.
There you go. That's Kevin Gorg's hot take. We love to hear it. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be with you guys. I have missed seeing you on a regular basis. And now this just is the tipping point to what's going to be a fun hockey season where I get to see you both a lot more, I hope.
Exactly. Let's go. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. This is producer Fred again. Season 3. Wow. Can't believe we are already heading down this road. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you for all the support you've shown us. Make sure you are subscribed everywhere to stay in the know with Bar Down Beauties. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and of course, your favorite podcast app.
We back. Thanks again to KG, K-Train, Gorgomatic, Kevin, whatever.
Gorgie.
Papa Gorg.
Yeah. Dad.
Dad for you.
Dad for me.
It's so great. No, I love me some KG. Love what he brings. Yeah, that's all I got for that, right?
Good toss.
Keep this in. This is all good. This is all content.
Good segue.
No, that's going to do it for our inaugural episode.
Great job.
Season 3. This is, bravo. We're off to a rolling start, ladies and gentlemen.
Remember, it's still
not
hockey season.
Can you tell we've done 90 episodes?
We've done 90 episodes. Believe it or not, that somehow we keep this train rolling.
The first episode all three of us have been back on since the episode we did at the golf tournament, which was like in person. So that was kind of a unique one too. Like this was the first one that we've done like normally since Marcus Foligno, which was like a month ago, over a month ago.
Which was like the best episode ever.
Yeah, go check that out.
Go check that out.
Plug, plug, plug.
But legit.
And if you use our clips on Instagram, tag us, jerks.
Yeah, Fred has beef with people stealing our content.
That Marcus Foligno spy story went everywhere and no one tagged us at all. And
I will say, I
put a comment. I was like, hey, tag the podcast. And it was like 3 days later.
Yeah. super annoying. Like, cause that was a clutch interview. That was an awesome little, and again, seriously, go listen to it. It's hilarious. You guys, hilarious. Nick Foligno is going to be buying some Marcus Foligno fan club shirts. Be sure to check out sodastick.com. You can use code BARDOWNBEAUTIES for 15% off. 15, not 50. I feel like I'm always saying 50. It's 15% off all purchases. So shout out to SodaStick. I'm super excited for the official fan club. Did Nick confirm that he will be your vice president, Alexis?
Not yet. I'm waiting. He took a little while to respond to your tweet. So maybe he's just good at getting a good response ready for mine. I'm hopeful.
Obviously. Obviously.
That's going to mean you're going to have to be kicked out of vice president. I hope you're not going to be offended by that. I know we just kind of hired you on as VP, but that's if Nick Foligno wants to be VP, who am I to deny him of that?
You know what? I will concede to that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. That is.
Yeah. You can be treasurer.
Yeah. No, I'll take whatever.
Or you could be vice president to the vice president.
Yes.
Okay. There we go. We got it figured out. Yeah. Glad you got that reference. All right.
This is like my favorite. This is the best segment ever of the episode.
Fred,
if
you
made
this
it this
first?
Far, congratulations. Yeah. You're getting the true gem of podcast 90.
You're getting what
season
behind the
three.
Scenes BARDOWN Beauty
yeah,
is like
this
right
is
now.
What we're
this
like
the reality
camera.
Of BARDOWN Beauty. No. So yeah, shout out to SodaStick. Again, they've got all this great merch, mostly BARDOWN Beauty's merch. Fred's got the hat on. If you're watching on YouTube,
Parker hat style.
Looks nice. Looks nice, Fred. Also, be sure to check out betteredge.com, BETTOREdge.com. You can get a free $10 to place your bets. It's really fantastic. Use code BEAUTS, BEAUTS, college football. We'll have plenty of hockey stuff. BARDOWN Beauties has its own page where you can listen to the podcast. You can place some hockey bets once hockey season starts rolling. So be sure to check them out. Also, Tony Hoagland at State Farm Insurance, fantastic insurance agent, and Jim Beam. Cheers to Jim Beam. It's fall. Let's ramp up some whiskey drinking. Especially as hockey season starts to come up. So shout out to Jim Beam and Talk North as always for featuring us on their lovely network, along with all the other podcasts. Be sure to check them out. Russo's got his podcast with LaPanta. Steven Strom's got theirs. There's plenty of good content there for whatever you may be seeking. That's going to do it for our first episode of season 3. Again, congratulations for making it this far. We appreciate you.
Are you congratulating us or them? Because I feel like
us.
We deserve to
everybody,
be congratulated.
Every single little entity here. Congratulations to all of us. We've actually done. It is insane. We talked about that in the first segment of like, holy cow, we've done 90 of these. But that is ridiculous considering we had a pandemic like in the middle
we
of all
we still
this,
have
right?
a pandemic. Yeah, we
still have a pandemic. Yeah, it's still honestly, ongoing. Yeah. No,
where's our award? Put it in the Hall of Fame. Hang it in the Louvre.
Please do.
I'm just visualizing somebody trying to hang a podcast in the Louvre. I don't know what the logistics of that would look like, but once they figure
it would
that
be,
out.
It would be from the hype video of you just going like this probably is what I would want.
Yes,
exactly.
I'm ready for my Grammy or my Oscar. What do you get for acting? Oscar. I'm ready for my
Grammy
Oscar.
Okay. I will take the Grammy from my beep, 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 like all my little quirky things. Fred is just like, please end this right now.
10 extra minutes of editing for Fred. You're welcome. Welcome back, Fred.
You're welcome. Welcome back, Fred.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you don't include all this, you're definitely fired.
It might be a blessing at this point.
He's just hoping now. Just please. Can't do this anymore with these chicks. But yeah, on that note, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for all of this phenomenal content. Be sure to follow us on all social media channels. And again, we'll be releasing different content as the season ramps up here, just a couple weeks away. Thanks for checking us out in season 3. I'm Jesse Pierce. That's Alexis Pearson and Fred Weinfurt on the producer board. So have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Near, 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 near.